Good evening. We are on chapter 27 of the transcripts from the 1955 Kailua Study Group series of talks entitled No Truth is Truth Except the Truth That Reveals Itself in You. Now, we have all been practicing, hopefully diligently, that which we have learned in, well, almost three-quarters of this, of these classes. And if you have been practicing your 12 periods a day, in which you become silent, not looking for anything, not trying to think of some truth mentally, but simply being still and turning within, waiting for 3 to 4 minutes, then you are beginning to feel something. You're beginning to make the actual contact. So for many of you, something wonderful has begun. Now, in this chapter, Joel is taking us from the letter to the Spirit once again. So he starts out saying that it was necessary to know the correct letter of truth. Each book we read gave some different form of treatment, and many of us have read many books. But it isn't necessary to know all those forms of treatment if we know the correct letter of truth. Now, that's something that I noticed many people around the world. They go to a bookstore, they go to the library, and here are 35 or 40 Joel Goldsmith books. So they read the titles, and the one that they like or feel an affinity with, they pick it up and bring it home. Now, you can see here, just by his own statement, it could have any amount or any number of different forms of treatment in that book. Or it could have no forms of treatment like this book. Now, if a person's new to truth, they're going to have a difficult time, because they might be jumping in the middle or at the end. They could pick up something that was written in 1964, just before Joel made the transition, or they could pick up something written in 1947. That's why this particular study series, the Kailua Study Series, I feel is so wonderful, because it is designed specifically for those of us that have read books, studied the letter of truth, learned the different treatments, and are ready, really tired and ready to go from that letter to the Spirit. And that's what this entire series is all about. So, he launches into describing an article he wrote in 1937, which was on healing without mental argument. And obviously, the Christian Science Church had a problem with that, because that wasn't the same way that they practiced healing. They had a lot of mental treatment going on. And that was one of the rough spots between the organized Christian Science Church and Joel Goldsmith. That's probably why he eventually parted ways, because they were doing things in a different way. What had been revealed to him was different. And although he tried to introduce an article, they wouldn't accept it. And I found it interesting that the Rosicrucians would. At any rate, he is telling us here that in 1937 he had already used that method of healing without treatment, without any mental activity. He had already discovered, used it, saw that it worked, and written an article about it. So, here in 1955, he's obviously not telling us something he just recently discovered, is he? He's telling us something that's time-tested. He has put it into practice and seen it work. So, if you understand the fact that God is individual being, well, that's the letter of truth, isn't it? That's the letter of truth. If you understand God is individual being, a variety of forms, but individual, infinite individual being, well, then you've got the letter of truth as far as the nature of God and individual being. So, you certainly are not going to have to treat the life of God, nor are you going to have to try to prolong or save it, or even raise it from a tomb, since Christ never was in a tomb. Now, with that realization, you have only one thing to do whenever you're faced with an appearance of discord or inharmony. Now, I don't know how it was for you, but for many years I thought that one thing I had to do was to sit down and know all these truths. Don't you remember reading in the several books, you rehearse every single truth you know until you run out of truth that you know, and then you get quiet? Well, he's assuming you've done that. You've done that already. And so now you're ready to go beyond words and thoughts. Funny, the book Beyond Words and Thoughts came out in 1968, and yet here in 1955 he was trying to take this class, Beyond Words and Thoughts. So he says, once you know the letter of truth, you only have one thing to do, and that is sit down and get into a meditation until you receive that answering click. And then you let it do the work. Alright, now, if you've been studying, practicing diligently your 12 periods a day, or however many you've been able to manage, and if you are beginning to make that contact, here he's telling you, because you understand the letter of truth, you don't have to rehearse it anymore. Now, he's going to show you how to heal without mental truth, without mental arguments, without rehearsing statements of truth. Up until now, you've probably been making that contact and just resting in it, and maybe not attempting to do anything with it, which is good. Now he's saying, when you are faced with a discord, you're going to take the exact same steps as you did in your 12 periods a day. Whatever the discord is, you have only one function: to sit back in meditation that God is the only life. You are dealing only with an appearance, and then get this click. Now, as you do that for a period of time, you have the same thing that formerly happened when you went through treatments. All right, so this applies to us. From now on, we have one function. And what's the function? When you're faced with discord, an appearance of discord, rather than rehearsing a lot of truth, you are to go within, rest back, because now you know the letter, God is individual being, or whatever letter you know. And since you know that, the only thing left to do, our only function, is to rest back until we get this click or make the contact. Now, a couple things here. As you know, I don't like that statement, get this click. I suppose that probably makes a lot of sense back then, and I have the sense that this class was a class of practitioners anyway. So they all understand what that means, get this click. I've never liked it. It doesn't mean much to me. However, I understand completely, 100%, when he says, go into meditation, rest back until you feel the release. Ah, now that I understand. So that's what we're doing. You're going into meditation, resting back till you make that contact and you feel the inner release. Now, that's our function from now on. Assuming we've been doing this 12 times a day, now we're going to apply it to problems that show up, whether ours or others. So that's what this chapter is about. It's going to tell us how to do that. And this is just beautiful here. Eventually, you arrive at a place where a treatment, instead of lasting 20 minutes, lasts 10, and then 5, and then 3, and then 2, and then most of it a half a second. You first may be at a place where every time you are called upon for help, you may have to sit 3, 5, 8, 10 minutes before you find your peace. And I think I told you last week that it took half an hour or whatever it was when I got that one email. As a matter of fact, he says you may have to come back and do it over 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 times before you actually bring out a healing. All right. As you persist in this, the day finally comes when you don't even have to sit down to meditate. Now, did you read that line? I read it. I circled it. I underlined it. As you persist in this, the day finally comes when you don't even have to sit down to meditate. You don't even have to sit down for that click. Because along with the appearance of error comes the assurance or answer within you. And you just automatically say, it's all right, no harm is going to come of this, or it's all right, you'll be all right in a few minutes. It just wells up inside of you simultaneously with the appearance of the discord. That, of course, is when you know that you are living and moving and having your being in spiritual consciousness or in Christ consciousness. Yes, that's when you heal with just a smile. But now all of us in this class know there's no such thing as healing with just a smile. Because behind that smile is the persistence of a developed consciousness. Right? Behind that smile is Christ consciousness itself. Now, here's where we're at, okay? Let me put this in my own words for my own sake here, and your sake too, if it helps. Well, he does it himself, so let's read his first. You see, in the beginning of our spiritual lives, we have moments of being spiritual or feeling spiritual, and then the rest of the day we just go around as ordinary human beings. Now, that may be where we were when we started, or that may be where we were when we first came to the Infinite Way. 99% of our time is lived as human beings, and 1% we're practicing a little meditation. But at that point, most of our meditation is really mental work, isn't it? We're not really making contact with this Father within, this Christ, the Spirit. We're mentally rehearsing these truths that we've read in the books or picked up in Scripture. Oh yeah, we're closing our eyes. We're not thinking of the problem. But we're mentally rehearsing these truths. Now, he says, you may have some results from that, and they may be very good for a while, but eventually that'll stop working. And I can say amen, and probably you can too. So what happens? Well, if we're fortunate, if we're unfortunate, we stay there for years and years and years, because there's nobody around to tell us, hey, there's a next step. There's 3 degrees. So we're stuck for a long, long time. And most of the people that I hear, most of the people that I read online, are stuck there. And I think you know it. However, some of us have begun to suspect there's another step. And that's probably all of us that have been led to this class at this time. Because this class is saying, you are right. You are right. You're hearing my voice right. There's a next step. And that next step is going to be stopping any use of mental statements, even if we have to grit our teeth. But he's easing us into this by giving us the 12 periods a day, so that during those 12 periods a day, or through the practice of those 12 periods a day over many months, we come to the place where we start to make contact. We feel the inner release, or the click. We know what it is, we recognize it. And so now he's saying, apply that to your spiritual healing work. Take that and apply that when you see a discord or you're confronted with somebody's problem. Take the same approach now. No longer know any statements of truth, even if you have to grit your teeth. Just go within for that contact. Sure, you can say something that'll help you to remember to relax. Thy grace is my sufficiency. I don't have to know any truth. I'm just going to rest. Something like that. So, the main point is that we're making the transition from knowing the letter, dwelling on the letter, reading the letter, discussing the letter, 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 and dying in that letter, to those that live in, through, and by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit. That's what we're becoming. All right. Let's see, where were we? There was a knock at the door downstairs. I had to pause everything, go down there and see what it was. Someone was selling for their local church around here. A lady and her 2 kids, they were selling candles. And we bought 2. One of them smells like pumpkin pie, and the other one smells like apples and spices. And boy, are they nice. So I've got the apple and spice one going now. And so, getting back to this, we are moving from the letter to the Spirit. And he says here, in the beginning of our spiritual lives, we had moments of being spiritual, but for the most part, we were human beings, and that's right. Now, as you persist in this spiritual living, the day comes when you very seldom return to an entirely human state of consciousness, and then only for short periods. I'm really... Well, let me finish this before I go off on a tangent there. And of course, the time ultimately comes when you just can't return to human consciousness, when you couldn't any more live or act like you formerly did as a human being than the man in the moon. And that is the point that the world can never believe. Now, I don't know where you are at in your progress, but I can still remember living 95% of the time as a human being, having a little bit of reading at night, a little meditation, and then upward and onward with my human life. But that was necessary. You can't make the change in just a second. You can't do it. First of all, it takes being uncomfortable. Something has to happen that makes you uncomfortable. So you become serious. You become a serious student. I'm going to find out what this is really all about. It's not enough just to read it once in a while, even if that reading is every night. So, in the beginning, we practice these principles, as I was saying. We know the truth mentally, and we may have results, but the time comes when that stops, and something serious comes up, and we say, okay, I'm going to find out what I missed. We go back to the books. I wish that there was... I know there's no way that you can do it, but I wish that there was some sort of guidance that said, here's what you need to study in the beginning, here's what you need to study in the middle, here's what you need to study towards the end. But there isn't. It's sort of a smorgasbord, like I was saying, and people just pick up things from anywhere and they get lost. And for years they get lost. I'm sure it was different when Joel was traveling around the world, because he made stops into almost every little group. And so he had a feel for what they were doing. And he could go around the world in 1959 and reteach the nature of error, because he saw that people weren't getting it. They weren't understanding it. And he could devote that year to going all over the world. But see, we don't have him now. Yes, it's true. We have a complete teaching. But, and I'm not saying you should organize it. That's not right either. Because then you have, well, okay, I can pass a test on this, but I don't have any consciousness of it. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that right now it's sort of haphazard. You find a book, you go with that, you don't know what level it's on, you don't know what level you're on, there's nobody to tell you, there's nobody to discuss it with, and it's a mess, really. Yes, it's a complete teaching. I have had to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. I haven't had a teacher. Sure, I talked with Herb for a few years, but it wasn't every day. It wasn't all the time. Sometimes I only talked to him once or twice a year. Other times would be 10 or 20 times a year, and then nothing again for 2 years. So I had to dig this stuff up myself, sort it out, try to see that there are 3 stages. That's why I made those talks, to try to save some people some heartache. And I don't know if that'll do any good either, but at least I made an attempt. All right. So, getting back to this, that's why this transcript that you sent me is so wonderful, such a joy in my inner heart. Because here, in one place, provided you have studied the letter and you have an understanding of it and you've worked with it, anyone that picks up this book has clear, concrete direction in one place on how to go from the letter to the spirit. And once you've done that, you don't need a teacher. You don't need a book. You still read them. You still listen, because you enjoy associating with others that are in this consciousness. It's nice. It's one of the joys of life. But you don't need them, because once you have the spirit, as Joel says in this chapter, you can write your own books. All right. So, the time ultimately comes when you just can't return to human consciousness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? And I don't know what percentage you're in Christ consciousness, making that contact, feeling it as you move around as you talk and walk and interact in your day on the job or at home or in play? I don't know what percentage you are, but he says here, and I'm telling you, he's telling us from living experience, because everything he says is from his experience. He's said that before. The time ultimately comes when you can't return to human consciousness full time anymore. Now, I used to wonder, and I'm sure many, many students or people that have picked up the Infinite Way books do, I used to wonder, how do I practice these principles, sit down, have a meditation, know these truths, practice them, rehearse them in my mind, why it takes me an hour to settle down, to get a little feeling of peace? And then I'd pick up one of the books that where Joel's talking about. One day I had 300 calls for flu. What? 300? Why, there isn't enough. There's not even 300 hours in a day. How is he doing this? And I used to wonder about it, scratch my head. There was nobody to tell me. I'd go and pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Joel, how did you do that? It takes me an hour." You know, there was no one to talk to. By then, Herb was gone. And then there's the human ego that gets involved. You don't want to ask somebody the question. You want to look stupid. I know how that feels. So you just go on your way, and you never figure it out, and there's no one to tell you, and you get nowhere. You walk in circles for 30 years. Well, here we have this wonderful, beautiful Kalua study series that tells us, yes, there's a way to get from point A to point B and even to point C and D and E and F and G. And here's how you do it. So, now we understand what he was doing, don't we? We understand, and it's so beautiful, because it's going to happen to each of us if we stay and persist until we make that contact. And what's going to happen to each of us? All of us are going to reach that stage where we make that contact within, and it becomes almost automatic, where he says your part of the meditation now only takes a minute. God's part takes 15 or 20. We're going to reach that state where the minute an appearance of discord looms up in front of us, along with it, simultaneously, will come the assurance. It's an instantaneous thing. I've had it happen. You see it before you can even think of a truth. There's a feeling of the presence flowing right through you. Now that's healing without a statement of truth. It's going to happen more and more and more, according to him, and I think he's telling us the truth. Now there's some conditions here. First, he says you have to know the letter of truth. You have to have worked with it. You have to have worked in with the mental statements and practiced them, rehearsed them in your mind to attain a period of silence. You have to have made contact. You have to have begun to make contact more and more. You have to have started this 12 periods a day in which you're doing nothing but making that contact. And then you have to begin to apply the same thing toward discords that appear. Okay, so that's what he's telling us. When that happens, then more and more it will take, what would he say, half a second. See, there's no thought process involved. And that's how he could pick up the phone 300 times in a day and say, "I will be with you. Okay, goodbye. I will help you. Leave it with me. Okay, yes, God's on the scene. Okay, I am there. Okay, take it easy. It's going to be okay. Okay, I'll get right on it. Okay, let me work on that now. Okay, I am with you. Okay, be at peace. You see, he could do that because he never left the consciousness while he was taking those calls. Do we see that? Do you see that? That's where you're headed. So he said, that's the point that the world can't believe. The world can't believe this, that you can do that. It doesn't believe that you will still be living your ordinary life. You will still look like a male or a female. You will still act like an average human being, eating, drinking, speaking. But inwardly, you won't be the same type of person at all. And you won't be responding to the same influences. That is when you have arrived in the consciousness of the Spirit, or in Christ consciousness. That's the point where, first of all, you do not react to erroneous appearances to the same degree as you did before. And that is why many metaphysicians, more especially Christian Scientists, are sometimes thought to be very cold. Now, you remember now in his books where he says the whole secret is reaction, don't you? Now, if you're reacting fearful to a disturbance, a problem, a discord that somebody brings to you, if you react fearfully, and you tell them, oh, you better watch, and you ought to, well, then you're reacting as a human being, right? You're really of no help except for maybe a little pity and sympathy. Now, if you're reacting on the mental level, you're going to close your eyes and know a whole bunch of statements of truth and throw them at it until you've calmed yourself down enough to where you can get a little peace of mind. But if you're reacting spiritually, what reaction are you going to have based on what you know so far? Can anybody tell me? How about you? You have your hand up. That's right. You are going to have no reaction. You're not going to react to it at all. You're not even connected to it. You're going to close your eyes. Thy grace is my sufficiency, or maybe say nothing at all. Simply open the door, the inner door, to your consciousness, and that which you need will flow through. And he'll tell you that in this chapter. But that's assuming all the work that came before this, that prepared you for this. So he says, people think that you're kind of cold, because how come you're not giving sympathy? How come you're not pitying them? Well, you know now why, don't you? You know why now. Because you're not operating on the human level anymore, even the mental level. You're meeting it spiritually. So he says, I have met many practitioners who to human sense appeared cold because they didn't rush in with sentiment and emotion when they saw somebody in pain or distress. Now you understand it, don't you? We're understanding a lot of things that we read over the years and maybe didn't understand. They had reached a spiritual state of not reacting to the appearances. And the human world does not like that. If you hear some yelling in the background, that's the children outside playing. I've had more interruptions tonight. I hope this is flowing and sounds coherent and cohesive. All right. The human world doesn't like that. The human world loves sympathy and sadness. But spiritually, you can't feel that way at all. Why? Why? Think about it. Because if you do feel that way, your period of reaction, you've already lost it, haven't you? You're attached to the dream. You're attached to the discord. You want to do something about it. What does that do to your remaining silent until you make the contact? Now you can't. There's too many emotions in the way. The glass darkly. We are a different breed of people. But Jesus practiced this. Think about it. Here comes that man. He looks at him, looks him in the eyes. Follow me. Right now, follow me. I can't. My father died today. I have to bury him. Now, where's the sympathy? You hear sympathy or pity? He looks at him straight in the eyes, serious as a heart attack. Which now, of course, is not so serious. We better find a different expression. Serious as stone. And he says, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me." Now, where's the sympathy and the pity in that? I always looked at that statement and asked, why, that's not very loving. How loving is that? And yet, you and I know from contacting that presence, it's the most loving thing you will ever find. It's love itself to not react to that appearance, because it's setting you free. And he was setting this man free. Let the dead bury the dead, but you come. You're going to rise out of that grave. It's the most loving act God could ever do. Not, oh, okay, oh, you poor thing. So Jesus himself practiced this divine indifference. Alright. Now then, the very same thing often happens with us in this work when somebody calls and says, "Come right away, I'm dying. My sister's dying. Somebody's dying." And you say, "I can't get there right away. I'll do my work right here." "Oh, but you don't understand. You must get here at once." "Nope. I understand very well. I can't get there at once." And then, of course, you're considered cold and indifferent. And the very often in responding to people on the telephone or in person, you don't give them ordinary human response. Well, they feel you're unsympathetic and they'd better go to somebody else. It's a funny thing here, I've noticed. Sometimes we have a choice. We can practice the principles and help set someone free, even though we know they're going to walk away and we're not going to make a cent. Or we can compromise our principles in order to hang on to them so we get paid and not set them free at all. We live in a different dimension. We have different rules. We have to let them go. If they only realize your lack of sympathy, your lack of emotion is your spiritual response, then they would be very grateful if your response were entirely that way. Well, something you are going to see more and more as you practice this. Now, he says this over and over that we should be able to learn this in a month or two. Shouldn't take more than a month. And from then on, they should be right where we are. He's talking about new students. Right where we are, with only a month of background. Because what is it we have to teach them? Well, we have to teach them the letter of truth. And he's right. If you were teaching this to a new person, it would only take a month to teach them the letter of truth. The letter of truth is the nature of God as individual being. The nature of error, which is that it is a misinterpretation of God as individual being, a mental image, a concept, and the nature of prayer, which we're learning here. But the nature of prayer you would teach them would not be the same nature of prayer that we're learning. Right? You would teach them to rehearse all the truths that they know and have read and have learned until they come to a place of stillness. Then they should sit back and invite God to speak. And then after they've practiced that for a while, you can begin to teach them this. So, he's saying that a month of diligent work should bring them to the point where they're ready to take these classes that we're taking now. Which is why I'm sure that everybody in here is ready for this. Whether you make the contact the first week or the first year, that's not up to anyone except you and God. But that everyone is ready according to him we are. Now he says he received a request for help on the subject of supply from one who has been a student and practitioner for 30 years. Now how can that be? But you have to understand what I said at the beginning of this talk. If you've only learned how to know the truth by mentally declaring statements or thinking statements or pondering statements, then of course this can be. You can go on year in and year out for 30 years or more. But what is missing? What is missing? And that's what we're learning now. We don't have to know that. Once we've learned the letter of truth, we can just say a sentence of it, relax, turn within. And then after a little while, we won't even have to say a sentence. We'll just turn within. Then after a little while, we won't even have to turn within, because we'll be tuned in. Or as Joel said in one of his books, at all times an area of consciousness is tuned in. And that's why I have said we become a walking receptivity. I tell you, I lost a little bit of my respect for Joel because I thought he was doing this, and he wasn't. He wasn't. The part he was playing, his only function was to be a state of receptivity. And so this presence, this Father within, this Christ was using him because he had created an opening. And see, I was attributing it to him, and it wasn't him. It was this thing that also flows through you. I'm not going to name it because that would be my experience. We just call it it. So here he says, the one truth that would have made reading all the books unnecessary all those 30 years is that supply does not come to anyone from anywhere, not even from God. Supply must go out from me to those who do not yet know their true identity. And if you're not practicing that principle, you're robbing yourself, because you won't demonstrate anything by trying to get it. The only way you can demonstrate that you have something is to give it away. All right. Yes, I wrote here, you must always search in your house to see what you have to give away. That's how you prove the principle of supply. Now, you can't be cut off from your supply, because supply is your very own inside, your very own withinness, that presence within you, that spirit, that dimension. Whatever name you give it makes no difference, as long as you know there's an it, and it and you are one, and you can never be cut off from it. How can we be cut off from God if God is our being? I have every right to look right there to God for my supply. But, you see, we understand now, listen, this should be becoming a way of life, from just having a little quiet periods during the day in which we tune in. We must get to the place where Joel was, where we tune in 20 or 30 times a day. We must go beyond that, where we are a walking tuned in, a walking receptivity, a walking state, a walking open consciousness to the Christ, to God, to the Father, pick your term. That is where we must go for our supply. But we don't go within and say, Father, pour out some supply for me, please. No, that's not how Christ works. We go within and we say, Father, show me what I have to pour out. And in the pouring out, it's heaped up, pressed down, and running over. And not until then. So he says it must appear. Supply must appear if we do that. it must appear, because supply is your very own consciousness. But you can't prove it by just thinking about it. You have to prove it by living it. All right. Enough of that. You know that now. We have reached the place where we do not pray out from ourselves, nor do we seek anything out there. Remember that statement, nor do we seek anything, not even from God. We abide in the realization I and the Father are one, and all that the Father has is mine. So, that means we turn within and we say, Father, fulfill thyself. Father, you pour out. Father, what have I in this house to give? Father, how can I step aside and let you come through? Father, let me be still now. There's no answer to this out here. Let me just be still. You speak. Father, I'm gritting my teeth. You flow. You see? We're becoming this state of receptivity. We're becoming a nothingness through which the allness of God can flow. The greatest gift you can give God, if you love God, is to become an absolute nothingness. And then God can give you itself. Infinitely. Eternally. That's the deal. Take it or leave it. But you have to live it. It's not enough to know it or read it or discuss it or dream about it or even ponder it. You have to be out there living it in your day-to-day. So do I. And I am. Better or more and more, let's say. I'm not at the place he was, where it's living me. Only some of the time. But it's coming. Okay. In that realization, which is abiding in me, I am acknowledging there's no destructive power anywhere, since no destruction can touch God's being. I am acknowledging not even a God power somewhere outside myself that can come to me. I am acknowledging only spiritual wholeness, completeness, and perfection right where I am. Now he tells us that this isn't just true for Jesus or Joel. It's true for all of us. It's true for every man, woman, and child under heaven. And once you have that in consciousness, which is that all that God is, I am, what does that mean to you when you read that? All that God is, I am, and you have to have that in consciousness. Does that mean you have to be sitting and thinking about that or pondering that? No, that would be the mental aspect of that, and we're going beyond that. To have that in consciousness, what is meant is that your consciousness, your conscious awareness, has become that. That means you first saw the principle, all that God is, or let's say all that God has, is mine. In the beginning you pondered it. Maybe you faced some sort of lack and you repeated it to yourself until you got calm inside. Maybe that wasn't enough and you discovered you had to go a little farther. Maybe you started to just say that to yourself, Thy grace is my sufficiency, and all that the Father has is mine. And you got still until you made the contact. And in the making of the contact, that infinity within you began to flow. And you started to see things forming, that invisible spiritual substance forming itself in new and wonderful ways in your life. Things you hadn't planned on began showing up. Wonderful things. Harmonious things, fruitful things. Eventually you are to the place where you don't have to sit and think about that or ponder that statement, all that the Father has is mine. Because you're living it. And in fact, it's living you. that consciousness is becoming your very existence. You see that? And that's what it means to have a principle in consciousness. It means your principle has your consciousness has become that principle. The depth of your realization has formed itself. Once you have that in consciousness, which is that you realize there's no power in any effect, all you have to do is remain open for this presence within you to flow out continuously, well, you would be continuously at peace. And whenever anyone came to you then, whether they wanted to be fed with a spiritual truth or with a dollar bill, you would have no hesitancy in feeding them. And why? Because it wouldn't be you feeding them anymore. It would be flowing out from within. There would be this feeling, do this, do that, give it to them, share it. When you come to that realization, you have only one further step to take when helping others. And that is getting this inner realization or click or release. Now he says, but that will only be for a few months. Because afterward, if you're really practicing this with every discord, it will be a natural state of being that instead of taking 12 times 12 and writing them down and going through the multiplication process to arrive at 144, you would just automatically say 144. And it's the same with this. Instead of, when faced with an erroneous person or condition, instead of sitting down and closing the eyes and saying, God is life and God is the only life and all that God is, I am, you don't have to do that anymore. Automatically, you're in that state of consciousness, in that state of receptivity, and it just comes to you. No harm is going to come from this. All is well. Pick up thy bed and walk. What did hinder you? Do you see? You see, he's trying to take us across the shore, across from boat to shore, so that we're standing on solid ground. We're no longer relying on the mental statements. Now we're relying on God within. Because God does the works. The Father within, he doeth the works. Now we understand this. Alright, so it is a matter of developing your consciousness to that point. The developing of this state of consciousness that lifts you into an atmosphere where discords have no reality. Well, they will still exist as appearances. We always will be faced with these appearances. But we, you and I, all of us in this class, will be in a state of consciousness that does no longer respond to them, does not accept them as real, doesn't fight them or fear them or battle them. We will just be resting within in the realization or the feel of the presence. Now, you can teach this in a month, he says, but it takes a lot longer to live it, doesn't it? Yes, he says, you cannot expect anyone to attain the consciousness of it quickly. That's an impossibility. Why? Because the consciousness of it comes only by developing it through the practice over and over on every appearance that's presented to you. So I think we see that now, right? We have clear direction where we're going, why we're going. There's only one reason why we are in this room at this minute, in this class together. And what is that? Why are we in this class together? Well, that's because of a world belief in two powers. No one is ever going to come into the realization of one power, that is where your constant state of receptivity, receiving these impartations throughout the day and night, and watching discords dissolve in front of you. No one's going to come into that state of consciousness and ever come back to a class, because there would be nothing there for them, not a thing. Unless, of course, you're doing the teaching. It's only in the degree that we individually still believe in two powers that forces us to unite or meet together for classes, to learn that there is only one power, and how we can actually live that principle. Okay, so there's a difference, he says, in learning this truth and in attaining the consciousness of it. Now, bear in mind that he's talking to a room full of people that have probably studied these truths for many years, and yet he finds it necessary to tell them there's a difference between learning the truth, which you can do in 1 hour, and in attaining the consciousness of it. So, at least we don't feel so badly, like we're the only ones that have taken so long. But you have to understand, he was doing this for a while, and he assumed that people knew what he meant. They didn't. He was a pioneer. People did not know when he wrote that article, Healing Without Mental Activity. They didn't know how to do it. And perhaps we haven't either. So, he says, is there any one of us in this room who's actually come to the consciousness where we do not fear a destructive power of any kind? No, no. Each one of us has attained it in some small measure. But our goal is the realization of God as infinite being, infinite law, and infinite power. Now, the realization of God as infinite being means you have come into the actual conscious awareness of an infinite being. You've felt it. An infinite law, you've felt it. You've watched it work. An infinite power, you've felt it. Now, that only comes by, that is only developed through, the unfolding of spiritual consciousness, which we know, well, he says it here. It's done in the minute-by-minute use that we make of this awareness. In other words, as we stand in the presence of a person going through a difficulty and inwardly realize that if there's only one power, this too must pass. Okay? We're no longer praying for him or treating for him. We are instead turning within to let the still small voice do the praying and treating. That's how we come into the consciousness of this, by living it. Not by knowing it, but by living it. It's not what you know anymore. From now on, it's what you do. Are you practicing the 12 times a day? Are you practicing with every discord that comes to your awareness, turning within to receive an impartation? Are you practicing, let's just give it 70% spiritual awareness and receptivity and 30% human? I think we can all attain that. I know it. Okay. Now let's... he suggests that let us go back now to our spiritual identity and let us see if the Master hadn't revealed, though your sins be scarlet, you'll be white as snow. Yes, okay. In the moment of our realization of our spiritual identity, all of our bad humanhood and all of our good humanhood disappear. Do you see that? Now, I tried to make some talks on that, but I was really pitifully poor at it. I did not get it across what I felt in my realization. I tried to reveal that the moment... Here, I wrote it down here. The moment you have the inner realization or feel the presence, all of your past sins are forgiven. Why? Because the Son of God has power to forgive. He says that. Did you know that? Whenever you make that contact, in that instant, you're white as snow. It has to be true. Why? Because in that instant, it's God living you. And God has no sin. Right? Did you know that? Have you considered that? when you think back on your life and you think of all the little mistakes you made, sins of omission and commission, I've got quite a few. I don't know how pure you've been. But when we make that contact, it's forgotten. Every bit of it is forgotten. If you want to know the God's honest truth, God doesn't care what you did or how bad you were. God's not interested in how good you want to be. The only thing God's interested in is how much of an opening are you so that God can flow. And that's it. All the sense of moral good and bad was wrong. They taught us wrong. Shakespeare taught us right, to be or not to be, to create an opening or not to have an opening. That's the question. So he says, since we accept our spiritual identity, we accept this minute as the moment of our living in spiritual identity. And so at this minute, we have no past. That's not a figure of speech, ladies and gentlemen. In the moment that you make that contact, in the moment that it begins to flow, you have no past. Why? Because you are not there. Something else is living through you. Well, I'll leave that with you to contemplate and meditate. Now he talks about going back into our human realm. He talks about 3 or 4 or 5 hours from now, it may well be that we will find ourselves retrogressing into some human emotion, a fear, a discord, an anger, but with this difference. Having had this moment of divine grace, the very slightest deviation from spiritual perfection starts to hurt you. Your conscience starts to awaken and it says, hey, what are you doing here? And you quickly begin to lift yourself up again. And so it will be 5, 6, or 7 hours the next time before you find yourself hating or envying or fearing or responding to negative impulses. And so each time, instead of indulging in a self-condemnation or punishment, just realizing, uh-oh, that was a retrogression. Uh-oh, I've slipped from my high spiritual standard and my high spiritual point. Now let me pick myself up again and get back into that atmosphere. And so you see, day by day, you spend more time in spiritual awareness and less in humanhood. All this becomes less in degree, as well as in time, as we spend more time up there in spiritual consciousness, until the day does come when it is virtually an impossibility to indulge in humanhood just for humanhood's sakes. Oh, once in a while we indulge in humanhood. It comes in as some part of the picture, but not as a part of our own consciousness. The whole thing is not merely knowing the truth, but in developing the consciousness of that truth. Now, when someone calls, writes, cables that they have this, that, or the other problem, instead of entering into human consciousness that would like to heal or get rid of it, you will start to find yourself instantly in that spiritual consciousness that says, one power, what have we to fear? Yeah, it becomes automatic. But it doesn't become automatic unless you take the steps now of taking those 12 periods a day, and now he's adding to that meeting every discord with the same turning within. Now, the simplicity of all this is clear, but the demonstration of the consciousness of it is not so simple, because that's where our practice comes in. Well, you'll be surprised after a month or two of this kind of work, and trust me, it's work, and he knows it's work. If you were to search yourself, you would find that you are not going back into quite the same depths of humanhood as when you started. Yeah, you may still have periods of it, but they will not be as prolonged or as deep. As you develop the consciousness of God as one presence, one power, and you do that through the practice, as you begin to perceive the Christ as the activity of your being, there are certain things you just could not tolerate anymore, and fear is one of them, doubt is another, hopelessness is another. So if you're sitting with someone and they walk right through the door of the valley of the shadow of death, you will say, uh-uh, I'm not accepting that. And you won't have the great grief, because there will not be belief in end or oblivion. So now you see what we hope to accomplish through the Kali Lewis study group, is that the basic principles of the infinite way, which are to be found in all the writings, will become so imbued in your consciousness that you will not have to have recourse to them in treatment. They will form the foundation of your understanding, and you will merely have to say 144. Or you will simply turn within and say, no harm will come of it. Alright, so there it is. He's taking us from the letter to the spirit. He's taking us from the learning the words to the consciousness of it. But, you see, now when we say no harm will come of this, what is behind it, don't you? That whole consciousness that God is the substance, the law, the only power. Okay, so you have the consciousness of it now. You might say, pick up your bed and walk. Come on, get up out of here. But now behind it will be not merely human encouragement, behind it will be the actual consciousness of the truth. If consciousness is clear on the fact of God's substance, law, life, and body, then the body can't pain. But it's got to be a developed consciousness. Okay, he's giving you another example of another principle, which is that as you continuously abide in the fact that life functions the body, and the body doesn't function life, one day you pass. You have a transition. And what's the transition? Transition is you go from mind to consciousness, don't you? You step across from boat to shore. Now, let me say, if you are called upon for help, don't try to remember anything that I said today. Not one word of this is truth. And in the margin I wrote, important with a star, exclamation point. How many times over the years have we quoted him? Oh, I'm so sick of quotes. Not one of them will heal a headache. And you know it to be true now. So not one word of this spoken today is the truth. It isn't truth. It doesn't heal. It won't help anybody, so don't even try to remember it. No, if you are called upon for help, what are you going to do? I'm asking you. Anybody? Raise your hand back there in the back. Yes, that's absolutely right. You're going to do the same things that you have been doing with the 12 times a day. Somebody's going to call you for help. You're going to say, uh-uh, no solution to this. You're going to turn within and wait. But if you have been practicing those 12 times a day, when you wait, something's going to happen. You're going to feel something, a movement, a spirit, a presence, a quickening. You're going to receive a spiritual tingling, a light. You're going to hear a voice, or not. You're going to receive an impartation, a message, or not. You're going to feel the peace that passes understanding, or not. And one way or another, something's going to happen, which at the same time will result in your inner release from the thoughts and things of this world. When you experience that release, you know the work is done. You can go do something else, like he says here later in this chapter, go listen to music, or attend your garden, or bake a pie, because the work's done. Right? Right. So, if you're called upon for help, and you find it necessary to sit down, just turn to the Father within and say, Father, truth is the healing agency, so let me have truth. See, the words aren't important. The important point is that you sit still and open your consciousness. Now we understand what he means, huh? How many times have we read that in the writings? Just sit still and open consciousness. What? What did he mean? Well, now we know. And then I circled the word let here. Let me have truth. And let it come up from within you. Let the impulse come. Let the message come. Let the click come. The release come. Let it come within you. Let is the key word there. Don't try to rehearse the truth. No, we're moving away from that. That's what we were doing back in the years of metaphysics. Sit down, get quiet, let God come through, let truth come through. That will be quick and sharp and powerful. Do you see that? When you are face to face with a discord, don't try to remember any truths. On the contrary, shut out what you know. Grit your teeth. Turn to the Father within. Truth must be fresh every moment to every individual consciousness. Now we see what he did 300 times a day, huh? You could do it 1,000 times a day, couldn't you, once you learn how? So truth itself is God. When God announces itself in you, that's the healing power. That's the only healing power. Whatever benefit you ever got from me, says Joel, is not from what's in my books. But what it is from is because I can turn within at a moment's notice. At a moment's notice, and be receptive, and something will pop up into expression. Words, thoughts, feelings, something that pops up into me from within, and it's spontaneous. It's the same when I answer your mail. I sit there with your letter, and except for the opening line, which is always one of appreciation for your letter and enclosure, from then on, spontaneity comes through, and each one receives whatever message the Father has for them. That's why they get help. I don't sit around quoting. I'm not depending on a quotation. I'm depending on whatever it is that spontaneously comes from the Father. And that is the secret of healing work. And there it is. I underlined it in triple. That is the secret of healing work. That is the thing I would like our students from now on to learn. And he's talking across the board. And you're his students, so he's telling you. That's what he would like you to learn from now on. You develop the ability to turn within and say, Father, give. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And turn away from all the truth you know. All right, we should be able to do the same thing. Turn within at a moment's notice and be receptive until something comes. Why? Because we have been persistent with our 12 times a day. So we turn away from the truth we know, we grit our teeth, we let the Father within come with a fresh, new, spontaneous impulse. You may get an actual message, you may get a quotation, you may get a click, a release, you may get a warmth permeating you. Whatever it is that comes, when it comes, trust it, rely on it. You see what we're becoming, don't you? Don't think that you have to go out and shove it around or push it around or empower it. After you've had that warmth, the flooding of the presence, you turn away from it. Turn on some music. Do something else. Go cook a pie and bring it here. But do something to take your mind away from it so that it can operate itself. All right. So the only truth that is really truth is the spontaneous impulse of God that comes to you from within. So you might as well take 150 books and throw them away, at least when it comes to meeting in discord. Not one of them has truth in it. Not one. Not one. Truth can only be found within you. Okay. Once you have quieted yourself with some of these basic premises, then sit and wait and let truth announce itself. It's the Word of God, and you'll find that it's quick and sharp and powerful. Ultimately, as you continue to work in this way, the day will come when you won't have to sit down. You won't have to go through any routines of remembering anything. But the very moment you have a call, your ear will open like this, and in will rush whatever truth you need at that moment. All right, do we see that? Do you see that? Yes, you do. I'm sure you do. It's as clear as a bell now. The whole purpose of the Kailua Study Series is to take us from the letter to truth. Yeah, well, that's true too. From the letter, which isn't truth, to the experience within, which is truth. From the letter to truth. Yeah, that's right. So the whole purpose of this is take us from the letter to the spirit. We're doing this together. Alone yet together. Several yet one. Joel's hand is in this, don't you think it isn't? If you have this book in front of you and you're listening to this talks, you were invited to this feast. I don't know why. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But here we are. Just put it down to grace. Not a grace that came to you out of the universe. A grace that came to you from within. You must have already opened the door that much that the grace has flowed out of you and is appearing as this feast that you have been invited to. Well, that brings us to the end of chapter 27. I thought maybe I should split it into two talks, but I just thought again and thought, no, I'll go ahead and make it one long one. Thank you for listening to this long talk. You probably already knew all this, but I think it helps to hear someone else say it. And sometimes there's one or two things that maybe you didn't catch. I'm sure if you made a talk, I would go, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't realize that. Or, hey, how about that? Thank you for taking the time to listen to it. I just feel so good about the direction we're moving in. And I'm so glad you're all a part of it. Good night, my friends.